Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Next on News One Now. Lord, Anthony Scaramucci lasted 10 days as Donald Trump's communications director. Oh, my God. Talk about you're fired. John Kelly, new chief of staff, he says, say, player, you got to go. You know we got to talk about that on the show. All right, today on News What Now, Baltimore City Attorney's Office dismisses 34 cases following the discovery of police body camera footage showing cops planting evidence. Oh, I can't wait till they say they're fired. There could be a number of other cases that will be dismissed as a result of these cops' shameful actions. She led the Oscars So White social media campaign. Now April Rain and others are taking on HBO and the creators of Game of Thrones over a new show in the works called Confederate. She'll be here to talk about why this show should never come on the air. And don't y'all mess with Auntie Maxine. Congresswoman Maxine Waters gets U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin straight on Capitol Hill, reclaiming my time. And gospel singer Anita Wilson talks about her new chart-topping CD, Sunday Song. Oh, it's time to bring the funk on News One Now on TV One.
I don't think I'd be standing here if I didn't have a good relationship with the president. I love the president. And I think a lot of you guys know in the media, I've been very, very loyal to him. And I'm going to do the best I can with my heart and soul on this job and try to serve him the best way that I can.
The group Ideal had this song called Get the Hell On, Get Gone. From Coolie High, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Scaramucci, y'all, lasted 10 days as Donald Trump's director of communications. Now, that was the news conference where he went out there all clean in his suit, nice hair, coiffed, got his makeup, and said, I'm the shot caller, I'm the big baller. Oh, but then he gave an obscenity-laced interview to the New Yorker magazine, and he was just foul, nasty, attacking now-fired White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus. With phrases like this, Reince is an expletive. First of all, is an effing paranoid schizophrenic, a paranoid. Then he also said that Steve Bannon sucked his own. Blank. Well, you can pretty much guess what that is. And here's how White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the woman who Scaramucci said would be the press secretary after Sean Spicer stepped down, here's how she explained his firing.
The president certainly felt that Anthony's comments were inappropriate for a person in that position. Both Anthony and General Kelly also, I think, came to a mutual agreement and we're moving forward to focus on the jobs outside of this building, not within it.
Now, April Ryan, she reported that a source told her that Scaramucci told Kelly, look, I'll report to the president, nobody else. And Kelly said, say, pimp, you got to go. CNN reports that he was escorted out of the White House, off of the grounds. Talk about a change of pace for somebody who proclaimed he was going to be unveiling his new communications team on Monday and said he was going to fire everybody who was leaking. And if it was just him and Sarah left, that's how it was going to be. Mm. Mm-mm. Now he at the house this morning.
By himself, because he's divorced.
That's right, with no baby.
Y'all, this is too funny. No, but remember, this is the same Donald Trump who promised, oh, I hired the best people. So let's see. We're now on our second chief of staff. We're now looking for our third communications director. We're now operating with our second press secretary. We're now operating on our second national security advisor. There are a number of people who he's been trying to appoint to positions who want no part of this administration. This is an unbelievable train wreck. Let's talk about it with our panel, Dr. Avis Jones-Dweaver, leadership strategist of the Exceptional Leadership Institute for Women,
Brandon Cooper, chair and vice president of the Prince George's County Republican Party, and Tiffany Lofton, civil and labor union organizer. Lord, the boy lasted 10 days.
Grand opening, grand closing. That was...
Priebus get fired on Friday, he get fired on Monday.
And Priebus is at home sipping tea like, yeah, right, karma comes quickly, doesn't it? I mean, it's really amazing. But once again, it shows that this is an administration that is in total disarray. It's an administration that does not hire for qualifications. It hires for perceived loyalty. And so now that they finally have someone in a position of power that apparently has, you know, that has a background, that has a history, that has some understanding of how to actually operate within an administration, he's at least cutting some of the fat go. So we'll see if he's able to rein in the biggest, you know, mistake maker, and that's the person at the top. But I don't hold a lot of hope for that.
Well, the thing that just stands out is, again, all of the bluster. Oh, and here's, let's just be clear, Brandon. Scaramucci was operating last week with the absolute approval of Donald Trump. All of his shenanigans. So, for instance, reports said that Trump was very happy with what he was doing and was angered that Priebus wouldn't fire back. Okay. Now Huckabee Sanders says, "Oh, the president, he didn't like those initial comments." Come on, that's how Trump talks.
I'm about to say, on that point, it doesn't hold water at all. But to your point about the fact that last week he was on good graces, this week he's not. The president talks a lot about loyalty, but he really can't show it to his staff. From Jeff Sessions, who was the first senator that came out and supporting him, who's now on ice with him, it just kind of revolves around this. So, I mean, to Dr. Weaver's point, it definitely is in disarray. I think, as well as you said, that the new chief of staff coming in is a ray of hope and a light into a chaotic situation. But let's be clear. The issues going on right now in the White House, you know, they are a reflection of the leadership as well. So you say Donald Trump does have a role to play. You can't think that playing musical chairs with staff will automatically be a silver bullet. There's some clear things that Donald Trump needs to understand about running a business versus being president in order to be successful over the next 3 years.
No. Tiffany, now with Kelly being chief of staff, I said this on MSNBC yesterday. Mm-hmm. You now have a situation where you finally have a grown up. In fact, go to my iPad, please. Shelly?
Now have adults who are now running the country as opposed to the children that we have witnessed over the last 6 months. And I would hope that General Kelly is somehow can counsel the biggest child in the White House, this President Donald Trump. Why am I saying that? You look at the comments that he has made, you look at his vulgar language and how he is basically not acted presidential. You need someone who can say, look, respect this office. You are to act like the president. Scaramucci was ridiculous. The communications directors are not supposed to be the story. And he thought he was basically a mini-me Donald Trump, and he needed to go because it was embarrassing what took place last week. And you would hope.
Yep. Couldn't have said better myself, Roland.
Mini-me.
I think there's a lot of things. That when you have someone who walks in as boastful as he did.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as proud as he did, he loves me. He favors me. I got this job because I'm the responsible one. He chose me. And underlying that, which we read in the leaks and in the times that came out, was that there was drama between him and the chief of staff, and that nobody was really talking about or unveiling, or that did not get solved before he actually took that position. It wasn't just 10 days. I don't even think he actually finished and got into the position.
Well, two weeks before he started the role.
That was paperwork.
Yeah, yeah.
That was paperwork.
Exactly.
He never even had a hard pass.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So he didn't even get into the job, Roland.
Right. He actually
it wasn't just 10
had,
days.
He really had, he didn't have the job.
Right. He didn't have the job. It was just 10 days in which the announcement came through, and so you have him coming in boastful and proud. That's one of those things where you're supposed to wait until it clears, don't tell the world until you actually know that it happened, and then pronounce and say that you were proud of this position.
This is, I will say,
but this is a mess, Roland. We have to understand that the White House continues to have this drama, and if
right.
did not care before, they definitely need to care now.
Drama. I will say this again over and over. If you voted for Donald Trump, you are a damn fool.
Thank you.
You got played.
They
you
fools,
got
though.
Played.
That's the
man
problem.
Tried to say, oh, I got all this management experience. I'm gonna hire the best people. I know what I'm doing. You can't even not hire competent staff. You can't even fill the other positions because you don't know what you're doing.
And Roland, not only that, it's not that that you just can't hire those people, even if there was drama going on. We're not supposed to know about it like this. This is becoming the actual story. So you have to be able to actually keep your people underground to say, okay, you got drama, we're going to settle it and figure it out. You got to go, we're going to transition you out.
But not when you got a man child who's 71 trashing his own attorney general and trying to get him to quit.
He likes the drama. I mean, he stokes the flames.
All we know is it's not the end of firings from this administration. Hopefully.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sessions are gone, too.
I haven't watched.
Everybody better hold on to their seats. We all know who's going next.
Resignation.
Like, how about that? How about you? He just steps down.
How about Trump?
Mind you,
I mean, at some point, I mean, again, the man simply cannot do this job.
No.
We're only
it's abundantly clear. No, we ain't even 7 months.
We just finished 7 months.
We just hit 6 months.
That's just surprising. I mean, this is some, who loses money in the casino business? Okay, let's just get real about this. He bankrupted himself six times. Okay.
That's kind of hard.
Absolutely.
I keep trying to tell y'all. Hashtag, we tried to tell you.
That's a good one.
Hashtag, we tried to tell you.
That's a good one.
Now, listen, y'all can't blame this one on black people.
Especially not black women.
94% of black women voted for Hillary Clinton over Trump. 88% of black men voted for Hillary Clinton over Trump. You can't blame this on black people.
We can blame
this
white women.
Don't even come talk to us, okay? Hashtag, we tried to tell you. This was going to be an abomination, and it is. Speaking of abomination, almost 36 criminal cases have been or will soon be dismissed by the Baltimore State Attorney's Office after three cops were accused of planting evidence. No, not accused of planting evidence. Y'all, we saw the video.
Yeah. Mm.
This police body cam video was discovered several weeks ago by the Baltimore's Public Defender's Office while prepping for an upcoming trial. It shows a cop planting drugs. Okay, that's good. And then returning to the same spot to retrieve them while two fellow officers watched the entire episode. Now, these dumb cops were unaware that the body camera records 30 seconds prior to its activation and recorded the fools planting the drugs.
The dude in the green looks scared. Look at that.
All right, there's supposed to be some sound, folks. All right. There are 123 cases that have connections to the three officers. 34 of them have been or are in the process of being dismissed. 12 other cases involve defendants who are currently in prison. 77 other cases are still under review.
And they still have jobs.
Yeah. Yep. One's suspended and one's on administrative leave.
But see, again, though, we same thing. We've been saying this for a long time about the actions of these cops. And guess who's been quiet? The Baltimore Fraternal Order Police. They ain't saying nothing. Their Twitter page has been quiet.
In fact, they did say something. They said that, don't rush the judgment. They could have been reenacting the finding of the evidence. And so they said something. Oh, I agree. It's complete BS. And that's one of the things I have.
Hey, guys, we're supposed to have Marilyn Mosby's soundbite. Where is it? Can you please play it?
Where there is an independent corroborative evidence and where these officers are material and necessary witnesses, we are dismissing those cases which rely exclusively on the credibility of these officers.
This boils down to, again, credibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not the first time in Baltimore. I used to live there for 2 years, live about 30 miles outside of there. In March of this year, the FBI arrested 7 police officers for filing false statements, for shaking down citizens. So this is not new. This is a culture in the Baltimore Police Department, and I hope that, something has been done. You pointed out earlier in your segment that this all came to light, one, because the police officers were stupid. They didn't know how to properly fabricate evidence, but also came to light because the public defender's office was doing their job. And also, I'm going to give kudos to Marilyn Mosby. Mm-hmm. She has not been afraid to come after police in her own department, her own city, even if it's not politically advantageous for her.
But let's be clear, the Department of Justice's own report on this police department showed how shameful their conduct is, and it was Jeff Sessions who wanted to not go forward with the consent decree. Mm-hmm. Baltimore said, no, we're going to go forward. And so, again, if Sessions had actually read the report, he would have seen it. This is the kind of actions we've seen in Baltimore and other major cities.
Well, and once again, this is Sessions' ideology. He doesn't care about what the report says. Mm-hmm. His whole ideology is this, especially repressive and dangerous type of law and order that we know puts us at the defensive, and it makes us very, very vulnerable to having at least civil rights infringements, if not out-and-out murder, ignored when it's done at the hands of police.
And let's be very clear, Roland, this is still the era of which school-to-prison pipeline, prison population, discrimination, black folks, and police brutality and not trust of the police is still coming into the light, into fruition, where folks are doing their research. This should be an opportunity to for the police officers and the police force, for the FOP, to say we are going to take the correct stance of justice, the correct stance of history, admit our own wrongs, and realize that we also have flaws and that we are not perfect. But now, like you said, the Facebook page, the Twitter page, and the statements have not come out in support of this, and that's why we continue to have distrust between the communities of color and police officers. And so it's a good thing, and I applaud Ms. Mosby because I respect her, and she is doing incredible work for the city of Baltimore. But this is not just about, oh, police officers planted drugs and we found them on a body cam. This is about, how does the police union, how does the police force now take responsibility and own up to their mistakes and fix what is wrong so that we can have a better trusting relationship between the community and law enforcement?
And like Black Lives Matter been trying to say, hashtag we tried to tell you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all, Black up Youth next, Project. Activist April Rain is here to talk about the campaign to derail HBO's planned series based on the premise that slavery was allowed to continue up to the present day. Obviously, they don't understand history because it actually kind of was. That's why there's a thing Douglas Blackman had a book called. Anyway, I'll explain that thing later. Also ahead, Congresswoman Maxine Waters let Steve Mnuchin know, look, man, I'm reclaiming my time. Oh, my God, where do y'all see this video? It's been all over social media. All that next news one.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks. HBO is taking lots of heat for a new project it has in the works. The network has greenlit a show by Game of Thrones creators Dan Weiss and David Benioff called Confederate, based on the premise that the South successfully seceded from the Union during the Civil War era and blacks remained enslaved to the present day. And the blowback has been swift and strong. A number of people immediately commented when this was announced. And then they even trotted out two African Americans who are serving as producers on the show to defend it. Husband and wife team. Now, April Ryan, who launched the successful Oscar So White social media campaign, and four other black women organized a hashtag No Confederate social media protest during Sunday night's episode of Game of Thrones. The hashtag temporarily trended number one on Twitter in the U.S. and hit number two on Twitter's worldwide trending topics. Now, in response to the backlash, HBO issued this statement, quote, "We have great respect for the dialogue and concern being expressed around Confederate. We have faith that writers Nichelle, Dan, David, and Malcolm will approach the subject with care and sensitivity. The project is currently in its infancy, so we hope that people will reserve judgment until there is something to see." Joining us right now is April Rain, again, co-creator of hashtag No Confederate. So, April, what about that? Why you haven't seen a show. All we know is the name of the show and the concept. Why not allow the show to move forward to see exactly what it looks like?
Well, actually, we know more than that, right? What we know is that Benioff and Weiss are the producers of the fan favorite Game of Thrones. That show is now in its seventh season. They have been constantly and consistently criticized, not only for the gratuitous depiction of rape on the show, but also with respect to the lack of significant content characters on the show, and with respect to the lack of diversity behind the camera. And those are the things that I talk about with Oscar So White. So if they can't handle those two issues, race and the subjugation of women, in over 6 years, what confidence should we have in either of them to be able to handle those issues with increased nuance and sensitivity on a show that will have the enslavement of black people, and clearly we'll be talking about those issues on that show.
But they also say they have two African Americans who will be prominent, playing prominent roles on the show.
They did say that. What they also said, though, in the press release is that they brought in Malcolm and Nichelle Spellman, who are incredible writers in their own right, because they were lazy, talking about Benioff and Weiss. So it wasn't as if they understood that there were going to be issues that they needed to handle sensitively, and therefore they brought in the Spellman so that they could do so with nuance. It was that they, Benioff and Weiss, were lazy. So if HBO really wants to do a show on slavery, and I'm not exactly sure why, because we've got more than enough slavery on books and movies and TV already, they could pick up Underground, which was recently canceled by WGN. We have Misha Green, who is a black woman, fantastic producer and showrunner. She could do that show. It already has a devoted fan base, and we would 100% support that. In addition, because we know that Benioff and Weiss have an amazing amount of leverage with respect to HBO, why don't they take a step back and let the Spellmans come through with a pitch or an idea for a show, and then we could open up the opportunities for more marginalized communities, which is what Oscar So White is all about.
Tiffany.
I'm just really excited that you plugged and said that they should support Underground, because that fan base is devoted, and we're still trying to find a location and a space for that. But let me ask you this question. After, when the show finally comes to TV and it finally is released and folks are watching it.
Assuming that it does.
Assuming that it does, of course. What then is the next steps for folks online, or how we should hold these folks accountable for this issue? What do you think those next steps are for the folks who are using the hashtag last night?
Right. Well, remember that Confederate, assuming it does see the light of air, it won't even start production for another year.
Right.
And so that's why we're hitting it now and telling HBO, don't spend any more time, energy, money, or resources. You know, better spend your time and money to do something else. Assuming that a year from now, or maybe even two, the show does come to air, then we'll have conversations about whether people want to keep their HBO subscription if this type of subjugation of black people, the violence against black people, continue. Right now, HBO is doing a great job with respect to Insecure. There's another black woman who has a project coming out. Her name is Nettie. And they've also committed to doing the August Wilson cycle of plays. Which is going to be helmed by Denzel. And that's 10 more, 9 more after Fences, right? So this isn't an issue with all of HBO at this time, but who knows what comes in the future.
And Avis, historically, when you look at what HBO has done in terms of various projects, whether it's documentaries and others, they have gotten significant applause from African Americans. And in fact, they have a huge African American base.
Absolutely. And so it's especially disappointing that it's almost like a betrayal to see an investment in something that is so inflammatory and so offensive and just so uncaring. But I'm wondering, April, do you think that this is connected to our larger political context? Because it seems right now that we're seeing so many things sort of flare up that glorify and romanticize, frankly, racism in America,
right,
and spun as entertainment.
I think that's exactly right. So they want to build this as alternate history. But what is alternate when we have Dylann Roof, a white nationalist, a Confederate flag waver, who walks very calmly into a church and kills 9 black people in Charleston, South Carolina? When we have textbooks in the state of Texas that are being rewritten, so it's no longer enslavement of African people, now it's, oh, well, they were just servants, as if they were able to leave at any time. You know, it's very interesting that Benioff and Weiss said that they've had this idea on their minds for years, but it wasn't until Trump became president that they felt comfortable bringing it through. Clearly, they had the leverage 2 years ago during the Obama administration.
Yeah.
So what's the difference now? Because we're seeing an increase in violence and hateful rhetoric against black and brown people in this country, I don't see where the alternate history comes from when this country still has not dealt with what the Confederacy and what enslavement has meant to African and African-American people.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we certainly will see what happens next with HBO if they move forward. April, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, coming up, the former St. Louis, Missouri police officer charged with the murder of a black man goes on trial today. But up next, Congresswoman Maxine Waters makes it clear, I am reclaiming my time. All of that next, News 1 Now, TV 1.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News 1 Now. Martin.
Oh, y'all gonna learn today. What are the Trump administration going to figure out? Leave that black woman from California alone. Congresswoman Maxine Waters, of course, who millennials are calling Auntie Maxine. Y'all, ooh, she ain't playing recently. She lit into the Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, about not receiving a response to a letter that she sent requiring about Trump's financial connections to Russia. Well, he tried not to answer her question. She said, I ain't having none of that. Press play.
Are you familiar with the May 23rd letter I sent to you along with several of my Democratic colleagues on this committee?
Yes, I am.
Is there some reason why I did not get a response to the letter that I sent May 23rd?
So, Ranking Member Waters, first of all, let me thank you for your service to California. Being a resident of California, I appreciate everything that
thank
you've
you
done
much,
for the community there.
I don't want to take my time.
I've also appreciated the opportunity to meet with you several times.
The time belongs to the gentlelady from California.
Let me just say to you, thank you for your compliments about how great I am, but I don't want to waste my time on me. I want to know about the May 23rd letter. You know about it. Why did you not respond to me and my colleagues?
I was going to answer that.
Just please go straight to
and
the answer.
Mr. Chairman, I thought when you read the rules, you acknowledged that I shouldn't be interrupted and that I would have
reclaiming my time. What he failed to tell you was, when you're on my time, I can reclaim it. He left that out, so I'm reclaiming my time. Please, will you respond to the question of why I did not get a response, me and my colleagues, to the May 23rd letter?
Well, I was going to tell you my response.
Just tell me.
Okay. So, first of all, okay, let me just say that the Department of Treasury has cooperated extensively with the Senate Intel Committee, with the House
reclaiming
Intel
my time,
Committee,
reclaiming
with the Senate
my time,
Judiciary
reclaiming
Committee.
My time,
okay.
Reclaiming
matter of
my
fact,
time.
Mr. Secretary, the time belongs to the gentlelady from California.
Perhaps, Mr. Chairman, I don't understand the rules because
reclaiming
I thought I was
time.
Allowed to answer questions.
Reclaiming my time. Would you please explain the rules and do not take that away from my time?
Yo. Don't come for black women.
Look,
for real.
I know I'm good. You ain't got to tell me I'm good. Answer my question. Brandon, what's wrong with y'all? Brandon, what's wrong with y'all?
Brandon, you shouldn't have been affiliated with this white man.
All I can say on this point, I want to, you know, Maxine has a large following, so I'm going to be careful what I say here.
Don't get your ass whipped trying to defend Manoukian.
About the honorable lady from California is, you know, I think part of this, again, he walked right into it. She wanted a question to answer. He was trying to be around the bush. I think this is part of the problem that we're seeing in modern politics, the fact that the camera, people, you know the camera's there. They know that this is going to go viral. This is, what, the fifth viral video of Auntie Maxine this year?
No,
you got to think that there is not some effort, you know.
Brandon, I'm reclaiming my damn time.
Okay, reclaiming your time, yep.
Brandon.
This is great TV.
Brandon.
The halls of Congress.
Brandon. No. Brandon.
Yeah.
Let me say it again. All you got to do is answer the question.
Oh, I agree. He walked right into it.
Mr. Chairman, can you please shut this black woman up?
Definitely.
She ain't letting me ask.
It makes a great TV, Vic Robin Mormon.
No.
It is.
This is
great.
Simple.
Yeah.
She asked the question.
Oh,
all he had to say was, We did this.
There are plenty of witnesses.
But no, he tried, Tiffany tried to say
it. And I agree with you. That was wrong.
And he didn't want to answer the question.
I agree. He walked right into it. I agree with you. What's
those
wrong?
Two things
he should answer the question.
Those two things cannot be true at the same time. You cannot say she was trying to put on entertainment in the show because this is the Halls of Comedy. And she was trying to answer a question at the same time. Those two things cannot be true.
It's on both sides. That's what happened.
No, it's on one side.
Both sides.
He tried to curve the question.
They pivot for the camera.
He does not know the rules of Congress.
I agree with you.
And so he came up and did not answer the question.
I agree with you.
She said, answer my question. She was not trying to entertain America.
Oh,
she was doing her job.
This is all politics. I used to work on Capitol. This is what they all do on both sides. They know the cameras are rolling.
Like Donald Trump.
Both sides. Donald Trump.
Avis.
They make a show for the
reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time. Avis.
Here's what happened. Obviously, Mnuchin knew what he was doing. He was trying to waste her time by avoiding answering the question. And had she not done that, that's exactly what he would have done. Because she outwitted him, now all of a sudden we want to make an excuse.
I'm saying it was wrong.
I'm
saying all sides do this.
I don't want to hear that all sides.
Everybody, all politicians, pay for the camera.
It's real simple.
whole new thing because we have a whole segment.
And well, first of all, again, here's the deal. Here's the deal. When you get a show,
no, I'm saying
the day you get a show.
No, I'm not saying.
No. Let me be clear. Let me be clear. The day you ever get a show, you can decide what you want to talk about.
It's a great clip.
But on this show,
it makes for great TV.
I am reclaiming the time. It's mine.
Yeah, I know.
And so, yes, we're going to talk about what Congresswoman Maxine Waters said because, Brandon, the real issue here, the Trump administration has specifically made it clear they're not going to respond to any request made by the ranking member on any of these committees. You heard him say, oh, we share the information with this committee and that committee. She's like, no. I asked for it. You've had Senator Patty Murray from Washington say the Trump administration will not respond to her letters. Other ranking members, the fact of the matter is here, the Obama administration responded to letters and requests from the ranking member of committees, and that has been a fact. So this is an attempt by the Trump administration to consistently ignore requests made by the ranking members on these committees, and that's why he got chastised, and that's why she pushed him. It was not to go viral. It was not to make a joke. It was to hold them accountable because this administration does not want to be accountable for any particular issue, and you do not want to answer the American people, and the fact of the matter is Donald Trump did not win the popular vote, and so he should be answering the questions of ranking members when it comes to these issues. And Mnuchin wanted to be cute. He wanted to be cool.
2.9%.
He wanted to be cool. Brandon, I'm not chasing you. Avis, do not chase him down that rabbit hole. It's not that dog.
It
ain't going to happen. No.
But
I'm telling you right now, you are to answer the question.
I agree with you.
And he wants to vote.
I agree.
But don't come with that both sides stuff.
They both do that.
Y'all, never before seen video be shown during the trial of the former St. Louis cop charged with killing Anthony Lamar Smith. The trial of Jason Stockley starts today. He is charged with first-degree murder and armed criminal action in the 2011 shooting death of a 24-year-old man. Stockley shot and killed Smith after police chased during a drug investigation. Charges were finally filed in 2016 after the prosecutors found new evidence in the case. Evidence at the trial will include dramatic police dash cam video during a chase and a bystander cell phone video moments after the shooting. There will also be DNA evidence from a gun found in Smith's car, and testimony from police witnesses and possibly Stockley himself. The gun found in Smith's car is key in the case. Police say Stockley's DNA, but not Smith's, was found on the gun. Now, Stockley has waived his right to a jury trial. That means only a judge will decide his fate. For the second time, former Compton Mayor Omar Bradley has been found guilty in his corruption trial. A jury convicted Bradley on two counts of misappropriating public funds. He was first convicted in February of 2004, but a state appellate court panel overturned the conviction in 2012. Prosecutors say between 1999 and 2001, Bradley used a city-issued credit card for personal items. They also say he took cash advances for city business expenses and then charged the items to his city credit card. He denies the charges. He will be sentenced on August 30th. Also, folks, a victory for the residents of Flint, Michigan. Their lawsuits can go to trial. The U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed a federal judge's decision dismissing two lawsuits filed by Flint activist Melissa Mays and other plaintiffs. Although the lawsuits can go to trial, the appellate court dismissed allegations against the state of Michigan and state agencies because they are immune from any legal actions. Also, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder will no longer be a defendant in one of the lawsuits. Mays alleges violations of constitutional rights to due process and equal protection of the law. There's no word if the state will appeal the ruling. Coming up next on News One Now, folks, we will show you a sister, a legendary baseball writer, Claire Smith, who was honored by Major League Baseball during the Hall of Fame weekend. Not only is she the first African-American female, she's the first female, period, to be provided this award as a sports writing pioneer. Also, gospel singer Anita Wilson talks about the nuances of the record industry and her new album on her new label. It is 21 before top of the hour, News One Now, TV One.
Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News One Now with Roland Martin.
History was made this weekend at the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Claire Smith received the J.G. Taylor Spink Award for her contributions to baseball writing. She is the first woman to receive the award from the Baseball Writers Association of America. She became the first female baseball beat writer in 1982, covering the Yankees for the Hartford Courant. During her more than three decades as a newspaper reporter and columnist, she wrote for other major newspapers, including the New York Times and her hometown Philadelphia Inquirer, before becoming a news editor for ESPN in 2007. In accepting her award, she directed her remarks primarily to her son, Josh, and often invoked the names of baseball's black legends.
First, look where we are. Beautiful, memory-encrusted Cooperstown. Can't you feel the spirit of Jackie Robinson in the gentle breezes? And Larry Doby's, Mr. Ricky's, and Roberto's? Feel that warmth? Must be the million-dollar smiles of Kirby, Tony Gwynn, and the kid, or the gigantic personalities of Pops, Big D, and Buck O'Neill. I can just imagine Mom up there chatting with Katie and little Nuxie, or Dad staring down Joe Black. Dad knows, Joe, that my mom had a mad crush on you when you were both at Morgan State. And he knows that you eyed her 40 years later at a writer's banquet and made a move. Behave, big fella. You're supposed to be in heaven, you know. Josh, when we're here, you can't help but feel the angels on your shoulders, for this is baseball heaven on earth. Gaze upon these Hall of Famers. Gentlemen, many believe that your plaques say it all, and that's not even close. Hank, Willie, Frank Robbie, you're lions. You are lions. Sandy, sweet swinging Billy Williams, Joe, Nuxie, Sut, all of you. There will never, ever be any others quite like you. It's been such a privilege to have covered so many of you. And please don't let this get out, Ozzie and Goose, but this really never gets old. Now I sit here on this day with Kathleen, with Mrs. Rachel Robinson, my hero and my friend. Kathleen, the family of Bill King, the Ford C. Frick Award winner. This is unbelievable. Such settings never fail to make one's fingers itch and make me wish for a keyboard or typewriter. I happily inherited that hunger from your grandparents, Josh. William Smith was a magician with paints and pencil and paper. He could spin a tale, but not without illustrating it first, mixing pictures with prose. Was it any wonder that he married a chemist, Bernice Eximini Smith? A stroke of genius here, an idea there, and mix, 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 she and her peers at General Electric invented instruments, including a fuel cell used in a missile that carried John Glenn into space. Talk about hidden figures. Now, I couldn't put a brush to canvas, and I won't even talk about my chemistry grade. Yet your grandparents gave a shy elementary schooler an antique typewriter, showing a budding storyteller another way to create. And for years, I typed and dreamed. And like Mom, I developed a deep love for baseball and the Dodgers, as her heroes, Jackie and Rachel, became mine. Mom, we were always on the same page, almost. Except for that one day back in the early 1960s, doubleheader, Connie Mack Stadium, Colfax, Drysdale, Bunning, Roberts. That was a Dodger fan dream come true, especially when, after the fact, the Dodgers won both games. But who did Mom take to those games? little brother Bart, because, wait for it, ladies, he was a boy. Sandy, do you see Bart here? God bless him, he's sitting on a beach in Jamaica trying to figure out what the Sixers are going to do this year. Throughout my career, all I wanted to do was go to work, do my best to get it right, then look in the mirror and ask, Mom and Dad, did I do you proud? And I wanted to be able to look you in the eyes, Josh, and ask the same. Then Mr. Spinks Award came along. Journalists, some young enough to be my children, began to reach out as I visited campuses and events hosted by the Robinson Foundation, the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, the Association for Women in Sport Media. Many of those youngsters spoke of research papers and articles they'd written about me. And now they were lining up to thank me for somehow having inspired them. Talk about missing the lead. Somehow, I must have touched something within these youngsters, and I never even knew it. Perhaps the enthusiastic young women who came up and called me auntie and asked to pose with me for selfies saw someone who helped open a bit wider a door that had once been closed altogether. They were cherishing these encounters much the way I had when I first met Jane Gross and Robin Roberts. Perhaps reporters of color heard of a time when there were no reporters who looked like them at all. They listened to my story and hopefully realized that while present day may not be perfect, times ain't what they used to be. That's surely what I learned when listening to my parents' life stories. What has this younger generation given me in return? The realization of just how one's reach can exceed his or her wildest imagination. For someone is always watching, it seems, and just may be ready to follow our lead. Jackie, Dobie, Frank, Rachel, Roberto, Mom, Dad, you surely knew that. You likely just wanted to go to work too, yet you are on my Mount Rushmore, because you shattered barriers for the sake of those waiting to follow. Such warriors were often lonely, but seldom alone. Thankfully, I was never alone. Writers with their billions of barrels of ink and twice as many hugs were and are always there. Bless you all. Today, I humbly stand on the stage on behalf of every single person in my profession, in baseball and beyond, who was stung by racism or sexism or any other insidious bias, but persevered. You are unbreakable. You make me proud.
Congrats to Claire Smith. You can go to MLB's website to see this full 17-minute speech. Up next, gospel singer Anita Wilson talks about her new project right here at News 1 Now on TV 1.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Grammy-nominated singer Anita Wilson has a new album called Sunday Song. She and I recently chatted about the new album.
Yes. That's my third album. I am excited about it. It's an independent album on my independent record label, so I'm glad to present it myself. The company, I sang with Donna Lawrence and Company almost 10 years as a background singer, so I was really grateful. It was a humbling full circle moment that they sang background for me on this album. So it's cool. I think it's a really solid collection of music that's not just for Sunday, but you know, sometimes we get all uplifted on Sunday and get real churchy, but then when life happens to us during the week and we're ready to go off on somebody or cuss somebody out or we got a bad doctor's report or whatever, we get
I know that
depressed.
Feeling.
You know that feeling? We all know that feeling.
Look, that's how you keep blood pressure down.
Yeah, listen. The doctor said you should cuss at least once a day.
You should release.
Now, that's what the doctor said.
Right.
I didn't say that.
Release those toxins.
Yes, yes.
Don't keep them in.
Absolutely.
I mean, a good cussing out is
it'll work wonders.
Great.
I agree. That's what I've heard.
Oh, they. Oh, no, no, they heard. Oh, you. They heard. Oh, I guarantee you, they heard.
You know, you gotta do what you gotta do to keep your sanity.
Somebody gotta do it.
Yeah.
Now you said independent album, independent label, and so I was talking. I was playing golf with Gerald Albright.
Okay.
So in October, I think
he's
releasing his next CD. Celebrating 30 years in the business.
Wow.
I've talked with a lot of other artists. I mean, the game has changed in that a lot of artists prefer the control.
Absolutely.
And when they can release what they want to release, do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And so if you take the social media piece in terms of interacting with your audience, not being beholden to that industry system, and which was one of the things Prince always talked about.
He did. He did, absolutely. It was important to him just to have control of his music, because I think a lot of artists for a while and still a little bit think that you have to be connected to a label, but you don't realize that the label is taking a percentage of something they were nowhere around when you created it, but they take a piece of it and you're not even able to freely release it the way that you've been inspired to. So yeah, creative control, owning your masters, all of that is incredibly important to me. So I put in the work and I sacrificed and I invested into myself, because it's true, Roland, what they say, you got to pay the cost to be the boss. So, you know, it is.
That was B.B. King's song.
Come on, listen, he was talking real good on that song. So it's a whole lot of hats to wear. It's a heavier load. It's a lot more to do and handle, but it's more rewarding at the end of the day as well. So, you know.
All right, so let's talk about this here. So let's see here. So we got Kim McFarland on here.
Yeah.
We got Tommy White?
Tommy White, absolutely. Those are singers from the company.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And then we've got Yolanda Adams on here as well.
Yes. My big sister, Yolanda Adams, she actually flew to Chicago to introduce me on this album. She's been so supportive of my career thus far. So I was grateful that she brought her energy into the room and her endorsement to introduce. So I couldn't have her in the room and not toss the mic to her. So,
duh. Like, duh. Yeah.
So we got a good old reprise of one of the songs on there, the Yolanda and Anita reprise. So it gets good and churchy on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go through here.
Let's see.
Explain Don't Have to Travel Far.
That's a good one. I'm glad you mentioned that one. It actually is an unofficial title track of sorts, because what Sunday means on this album, I've noticed in church sometimes worship leaders can say, you know, he's here, get what you need, the Spirit of the Lord is here, you can't do this at home, you can't get this nowhere else. And I'm always sensitive to, we understand what happens in church, but everybody doesn't, and I'll never want to leave anybody out. And what's true is God's presence is never far from us. Mm-hmm. So if we're at the park or at home, in a bathroom, and in the jail cell, wherever we find ourselves, we can always access God's presence, and everything that's available to us on Sunday is available to us every day. So that's a beautiful ballad, Don't Have to Travel Far, that just speaks about I can just kind of steal away and get into the presence of God. And with everything going on in our country right now, I think it's important to access uplifting and inspiration as much as possible. So that ballad just speaks about that. I don't have to travel far to be right where you are. You are constantly in my heart.
I've seen him work.
Yes, I've seen him work was the lead single for this album, and of course the message obviously is just reminding yourself that, you know, God has done some amazing things for me before, so even though what I'm looking at doesn't match what I believe, God is ready to do some work in my life, so I just got to hold on to my faith. And that's a cool song, Roland, because the sound of it, you know, it fuses the sounds of 80s choirs like the Thompson Community Singers and all that, and I like to fuse in all my influence is from all genres, so it has a little bit of Luther Vandross influence as well.
All right. Yeah. God planned on it. God planned on it.
Yeah, that's a song. Of course, this walk is about faith, and it's hard to walk in faith when your situation is a little rough. So that song just reminds the listener, reminds yourself that whatever you're going through, he has plans for you, and it's not to fail you. It's for good and not evil. And that doesn't mean that it's always going to be great days. We're going to have to
to walk through some rough times. But just know, when it says, when I'm uncertain about what's next, I have to remind myself there's more ahead than what I can just see. So it's just reminding you that God has a plan, and even though it takes a while to get there, you can get there.
So the CD's out now,
it is.
As you are traveling and touring across the country,
yes.
Are you in the back hawking, all right, get your CD?
Yes.
Get your CD?
You better believe it. You better believe it. That independent journey ain't no joke. So if you see your girl somewhere, I got copies with me. Don't trip. We swipe.
All in the trunk.
We swipe and we got cards.
You carry a duffel bag all around?
Yes, I do. You better believe it. Me and my folks, my boys always got me covered, and we flipping them CDs.
Got your square reader?
Yes, I do. Okay. Yes, I do. So I'm prepared. Absolutely, I'm prepared. So we're moving around the country as much as possible. I'm a part of the McDonald's tour this year, so we're doing a whole lot, just moving around with different artists and hitting different markets. So I'll be in a city near you guys soon, and I love to interact on social media. So y'all keep in touch with your girl.
All right, folks, the CD is called Sunday Song. Anita Wilson, accompanied by the company.
Yes.
Be sure to get the CD. She said it's independent, so every CD sale counts.
Yes,
don't have her out here begging. Don't have her out here begging.
Don't have me begging, y'all.
Don't do it.
Nope.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Support your girl.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin. Every weekday morning at 7 on TV
Our
One.
University of Central State University in Wilberforce, Ohio, established 1887 as a two-year program for teacher and industrial training. Folks, be sure to gear to them today. Go to the website. Pull the graphic up, please. centralstate.afford.com. You got the whole deal. Just go to their website. Y'all can give. I'll see you tomorrow from Louisville. Holla!
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.